Go for it. Being not ready is the best kind of ready.
3, 2, 1. you can go ahead. There's no audio coming in.
I know, I was just messing with you.
Oh, you do, asshole.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Welcome to the Side Quest Holiday Special for 2011. We have a small but still great show with your not-so-esteemed hosts, Eric and Dally.
Hey, it's going, Eric and Dally. Eric and Dally, awesome job.
Yes, exactly.
How's it going, man?
Awesome show, except we're not awesome and your name's Dally.
What? We are awesome. Yes. We're the awesomest. Oh, okay. I'm sitting on the floor. I'm at my in-laws. We're about to they're having people over for Christmas Eve dinner and presents and all that kind of stuff. We do that at their house on Christmas Eve. But, we could talk a little bit about our Christmas traditions and go over some of the holiday crap as people are wont to do on the holidays. And then, it could be a nice, easy show.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it short.
We'll try to keep it shorter because I want to watch the Lions game. Hopefully they'll win. So I'm sitting on the floor in my in-laws, in their office, while the house is a bustle with people and kids running around getting stuff ready. And
is that why you're wearing Is that why you're wearing the Mark headset? I just looked at the Bills score.
Oh, what's the score?
40-14, Buffalo over Denver.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you see the Tim Tebow Jesus skit on Saturday Night Live?
I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
Oh, this is the one time you have to check the skit. So Jesus walks in. First of all, it's a Denver Broncos locker room, and Tim Tebow comes in. Oh, great win, guy. This was the week before the skit takes place the week right after the they had won their last game. So the week before the New England game. And so Tim Tebow comes in. Oh, great win, guys. This is awesome. I want to thank everybody for their hard work, but really, this is all because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he gets down on the ground, does the Tim Tebow stance, and then while he's doing the praying, all of a sudden the lights dim, the door opens, a big waft of smoke and mist comes in, and Jesus walks in and he says, "Hey, everybody, how's it going? It was me. I did it. It was all me." And Tim Tebow just gets so super giddy, like a 12-year-old kid on Christmas morning. He's all over Jesus, and Jesus is like, hey, Tim, give me the space here, all right? Jesus needs to leave some room for the Holy Ghost between us. And it just kind of goes on from there. It was an excellent skit that they kind of poked fun at Tebowing. I say check it out. So I'm glad. He's actually a likable guy, but I'm glad to see his world kind of come crashing down a little bit.
The Bills are winning 40-14, and Ryan Fitzpatrick still isn't even above an 80 NFL quarterback rating.
Yeah, oh, man.
They have one offensive touchdown.
This is essentially the Bills signing a pact with the devil, because there's no way that the Bills...
They've got two pick sixes.
Weren't they... they started off 4-0, didn't they?
And then 4-0 and went to 5-2, and then
that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
Then everything crashed down. Well, I'm watching the Side Questing League game live here, and the Gallifrey Time Lords are losing right now to the I Like Turtles team. So see who ends up winning. It's 38-31 in that one, but there's still a long way to go.
So is this the sports cast? Because I think we just kind of hijacked our own show.
Probably. Probably. But we'll move on. Yeah, anyway, so that's the plan for tonight for me, is to just kind of hang out and open presents, have a lot of food, probably get a little liquored up, and then we're driving all the way back to our house. We live about an hour from our in-laws. Drive all the way back to our house. I got to wrap one more gift for my daughter, and then, should be a good time after this.
Very good.
Yeah, what about you? What's the plan for you, my friend?
I have to wrap every single present.
Nice, good man.
Yeah, that's how I roll. Well, I did my shopping yesterday, as every responsible adult does.
True.
You know,
true.
2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'm heading over to my parents.
Okay.
Which is not far for me.
That's good.
15, 20 minutes.
Perfect. That's the ultimate, that's a good amount of time, I should say.
Yeah. And then next Tuesday, not this coming, but the second, my brother's coming up from Pennsylvania, having second Christmas.
You mean Monday?
No. Wait, is it Monday?
Is Monday? I don't know the date.
It's the second. The second of the year. That's all that matters.
Cool. Awesome, man. That's always, that's what I like about this time of year is just getting together with people and, you know.
And getting together with people.
And getting together with people. You know what I'm saying? Anybody?
I hope that.
Yeah. High five. Which, yeah, that was dorky. We just high fived over the, fucking, over the internet. But yeah, no, it's a cool time and it's so laid back. Even though there's actually a lot of stress kind of early on for Christmas, the couple days before Christmas and then Christmas Day. And then after that, it's just like the most laid back week that you could imagine. I mean, yeah. It's like ultimate slacker week for everybody.
Pretty much.
Cool.
Have you ever gotten a console for your Christmas?
The only console ever, the NES, I got it from my godparents, like, in 89 or something. So it had already been out for like 4 years, but nobody could afford it. It was still around $150, and they ended up picking it up for us. Why? But that was the last. That was the only time.
Yeah, I've never gotten a console for Christmas.
No. Nope.
I always like you always hear the stories from people like, yeah. Oh, when I was six, I asked for an NES and I got one. Like, nope.
Well, here's the thing: we're not six, and so it doesn't really matter to us because we're adults and we can go out and buy our own crap.
When, yeah, well, now, it, but yeah. I literally never got a console. I got games, but...
Interesting.
The annual Christmas game.
Yeah. Are you expecting any games this year, or...
No, I don't.
Did you pretty
I,
much... You
pretty I much pretty much tell people to not get games for me.
Yeah, that's what I do, too. The only games that I will ask for is if... for looking stuff, I don't even ask them. My wife will always keep... Ask, what do you want for a game? I don't really want a game. I don't want to. All right, fine. Give me a stocking stuffer. I don't know. Whatever. And I give her a list of a couple 3DS or DS games or whatever stuff that can, you know.
Yeah, the Christmas list that we now, like, our entire family just does them on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's no, we don't yet, but I have a feeling that it's getting there. That next year, for sure, it'll be that.
Yeah, so just I always put socks, underwear, and books on my list.
You're lucky you have time to read books. I do audiobooks.
You always
though.
Have time to do anything you want. You just got to make the time.
Wow. That is, those are great words. Coming from Eric Smith, you always have the time. You just got to make that time. Do, 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 the more you know.
Yeah. Well, as little as I read books now, usually I just pick it up for Kindle or something, but. I like physical books.
Sure. Yeah, I like that too. I gotta agree with you. Yeah, so that's the holidays. Are you gonna be spending any time next week just playing games?
To the whole week?
Yeah, I think same here.
I gotta power through Dead Space 1 so I can play Dead Space 2.
You haven't beaten Dead Space 1?
I put in an hour and a half and it freaked me out so much. Because I started playing it at night. I'm like, I can't go on.
No, you have to play it at night, and then I'm only about halfway through Dead Space 2. That's one of the games that I want to play out this week. But
yeah,
I love
that up for Game of the Year.
Dead Space 1 was my Game of the Year when it came out. Was it 09? I think it came out or 08, something like that.
Pick that over Red Faction.
No, it didn't come out the same year as Red Faction.
It came out same.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I did. And I actually remember this vividly. Everyone had Red Faction like in their top three or top two or three, and everything else was so varied. It was all over the place. So we had like Assassin's Creed 2 came out that year, Dead Space, Red Faction, which was way earlier in the year, and a bunch of other games. But because everybody had a different number one, we all had like Red Faction as number two or number three. And Red Faction ended up winning our very first ever side questing game of the year because everybody liked it. I think Mike Wehner was the only one that had it as his number one. But that was enough to push it over. So, yeah, it was good.
I can't believe you guys chose that over Assassin's Creed 2.
Ryan was extremely pissed at us. I remember him sending me nonstop emails of like, dude, what the fuck? Why are you, or tweets basically, and text messages. How can we have Red Faction? We're not a legitimate site if we have Red Faction. I'm like, chill out. And he was pissed. And so that we not really to appease him, but to kind of figure out how to actually better gauge, game of the year stuff. We tweaked our points a little bit last year, and I think it actually worked out really well last year.
60 games with points last year.
Yeah, it was nuts, but it worked out great because, and we're gonna do this again this year. Here's a little inside baseball. I think it worked out great last year because everybody essentially gets 10 games, and then I think everyone gets like one bonus point as well, right?
No, the 6 through 10 games get the bonus point.
Well, yeah. So games your top 5 games get, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, whatever it is. And then 6 through 10 are just 1 point each. And I think the reason we did it that way was you're almost always pretty confident about what your top 5 games are. And then your 5 through 10 are, they're a little bit harder to figure out. So we just, you just give 1 point each. But that actually, I think a couple of those 1-pointers made it into the top 10 overall. So yeah, I think that was a pretty successful way. And I think we even did it where you're allowed to give one extra point to one game. Like if you really loved,
I think it was that way.
Yeah. If you really loved one game above any other game, you're allowed to give it that extra point. But if you didn't, then you can put the second game on your list, give that an extra point, and that would help. Like if essentially it allowed you to give a little bit of a buffer. So if two games are really close, didn't know if you wanted to lift, put one.
Editor's bias.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what the site's built on. But it was successful, and I think Mass Effect 2 ended up being our game of the year last year. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, 40 points. It was retarded.
It's going to be tough this year because there's definitely a Skyrim contingent and there's definitely a Portal 2 contingent on the site. There's two huge factions of that kind of stuff. So, in other words, Kirby Mass Attack is going to win the game of the year on Sidequesting.
I'd quit.
You'd quit. Don't you have the right to quit? No, that's how we do the game of the year.
Who did our Skyward Sword review?
Tyler did.
God, he gave it a 3?
He's not a Zelda fan. And so when I put the word out to the team, said, hey, who wants to review this game? He's said, hey, I'll do it. I've never played Zelda. And holy shit, the Chiefs just tied the Raiders with a minute left. All right, that bodes well for me. he stood up and he said, let me try it. He wanted to put his Wii, either put it to rest forever or give it a good solid final outing. And so he played it and he gave it a 3. He said, I think if you read the article, he says the parts of the game that are good are fantastic, but then there's the one part which everybody's been complaining about, which is there's a portion of the game which gets very repetitious and very.
So like, yo, it's a Zelda game.
Like exactly, yo, it's a Zelda game, but it's kind of like the fetch quest.
I guess that's not exactly a.
Yeah.
It's not a 3 isn't a bad score.
No.
It's average, but
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't expect that.
The fetch questing stuff wasn't.
Yeah, and because it's Zelda, it shouldn't get an excuse, but
Right. And I don't necessarily agree with him on that. I didn't have an issue with the fetch quests only because, being a Zelda fan, I kind of expect those, and there's certain.
Yeah, it's certain expectations.
Ones. Yeah, exactly. And for him not being a traditional Zelda fan, he didn't like those, and which is. I kind of like the fact that somebody who's not a Zelda fan did the review, because if I had done the review, I probably would have been, oh, this is 5-star game, best game of the year.
Well, see, while we're talking on reviews, Ryan's review of Combat Evolved Anniversary
Fantastic.
It's, you know, first of all, it's one of the best reviews I've read in a while with his analogies he was making about being a substitute teacher. But, and people went apeshit because he gave it a 2.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, well, it's supposed to be like the original. And Ryan's like, well, if it's supposed to be like the original, and it is, then why is this 2 score wrong in today's day? Yeah, like, they released a game that's 10 years old.
Yeah.
As new.
And so, he made a good point. And to tell you the truth, the score, when I first asked him, I said, what score are you giving? He said, 1.5. So we don't do half scores at sides, either 1 or 2. He said, I'll go with a 1. And then he looked back, he emailed about a day or so later. He goes, you know what? After giving a lot of thought, that 1.5, probably closer to a 2, because he respected the fact that there was the HD improvements, even though they're not great. They're not great visuals, no matter what anybody tells you. They're not beautiful.
They're not beautiful, but they're good designs.
Yeah.
But what I like most about...
But they were good designs in the first place.
Yeah. What I like most about the review is that... I completely forgot what I was going to say.
The honesty and the fact that, you know,
Ryan is a Halo fanboy.
Yeah, he totally
like,
is.
Like, for him to give this game a 2 should mean something. Mm-hmm. Like, he gave ODST a really positive review, and that was...
Yeah, and he reviewed Reach, and he gave Reach a positive review, but not a overly positive review. I mean, I looked at when I look at a game like the remakes and stuff, those are really hard to score, and I can see why sites like Joystick and stuff don't score them, because it's not really about pissing people off. I think it's more about what's the intent. And I was kind of debating a little bit with Ludwig over at Joystick on Twitter and a couple other folks on the merits of remakes, and he brought up a point. Listen, it's about preservation of this game, you know. So,
but you know what? If you're going to have a scoring system, and you're going to cop out of scoring a game, you know, I mean, that's what it is. It's a cop out. Because mm-hmm. if they're going to release it as a product that you have to pay for, mm-hmm. and part of your reviewing shtick is scoring the game, then you should score everything. You shouldn't just give something a pass because it's a re-release.
I totally agree, and if you know, Ryan made a good point in that there were certain design elements which worked well from the original Halo, but then certain things where Halo fans that have been playing that played ODST and Reach and really got used to Reach,
they're major improvements in the games.
They're major improvements, and then you go back to Combat Evolved Anniversary, and you say, hold on, some of that stuff is actually missing from this game. You know, like I think Ryan mentioned some of the button configuration stuff. There's certain things that he would do in Reach that all of a sudden he can't do in Combat Evolved Anniversary. So he brought up the point that, hey, listen, if you're going to improve something, go all the way out and improve it. You know, do an Ocarina of Time 3D where they improve the controls mightily.
They improve everything about that game.
They improve everything about Ocarina of Time, exactly. It's not just about visuals. I mean, take a look at Shadow of the Colossus and Metal Gear Solid. They made visual improvements.
Well, they pretty much up-resed it.
They up-resed it. And it's like, you know what? The effort is kind of half-assed in some ways. And so Ryan understands the effort that was put in to create Combat Evolved Anniversary, and he appreciated that point. And I think that those were where those 2 points or that bump up from 1 to 2 came from. But it could have gone further. It could have been better. It could have brought that to the level of Halo Reach, at least in terms of familiarity with Halo fans or new Halo fans, because a lot of people didn't play that. I never played that first Halo, and I've played Halo 3 and Halo Reach, and so I know exactly what to expect from future Halo games because of what I played with Reach, and to go, holy shit, is that a touchdown for Kansas City? You gotta be f***ing kidding me with 3 seconds left. Nope, never mind. overtime. Field goal was blocked. No, and so, yeah, it if I went and played Combat Evolved Anniversary after just having come off of Reach, which I'm still playing right now, I'd say, wow, this game plays different. I don't really quite, you know, I may not like the direction it's going. And then, again, Ryan, I think, did a great job of summarizing that and saying, you live up, you're up to this expectation. The expectation is what I think some people had an issue with. Some people said, hey, this is just preserving the original game with a few extra twists. And Ryan said, this is his series. This is the series that he looks to every year to say, hey, I want this next Halo game. This is going to be owning my time for the next 6 months. And he came to this game. He said, that's not what this game does. This game is just, you know, it's a re-release with better visuals and a couple little terminals thrown in. And it pissed off enough people that we got a lot of traffic to the site. So that
was he pissed off the whole world with that. But yeah. And this is the way the industry is moving right now.
Yeah.
Basically, the Vita is a machine that's going to be based off of re-releases, and you know, most of the whole Sony platform right now is let's re-release games, and I don't like it.
It's happening everywhere. I mean,
yeah,
it started with Sony. Well, actually, take it back. It was, you can really thank the Wii for doing this with the virtual console when that first came out, because they just kept pumping out all their old games.
But at least the virtual console is just releasing its original format.
That's what I was exactly going to say. The virtual console said, you know what? We're not gonna modify these. Just here. Here's the original game. This is the exact game that you wanted, that you played back then. Initially, that was really cool. And then as HD started to catch on, as control schemes started to catch on, as online multiplayer really caught on with the Xbox 360, people started to say, hey, yeah, Bionic Commando on the Wii, yeah, it's the same game that I played before, but I'm much rather going to play that rearmed version for the 360, because that's definitely the right way to recreate a game. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people have issues with.
Yeah, people will probably always look at the Wii for that. Because they did it with the Resident Evil games, Metroid Prime series, but at least they were changing the control format when they released it.
Yeah, and I think the now that all the publishers are doing that, every platform holder is saying, we're going to re-release all these games that we have.
You know who's not? Activision.
That's true. Yeah, they haven't done
except
that yet.
Except for Tony Hawk. I guess that's the one.
That's the first one, right?
Yeah. And
they did choose two of the better Tony Hawk games.
Well,
at least
it should have been Tony Hawk 3 alone, but whatever.
Anyway, so yeah, you know what? I support Ryan's review. We also had let's see here. We had the JPEG week starting up here, coming here shortly. Actually, it's next week. So by the time this podcast is up, we'll probably have this up next. Maybe even tonight, who knows? If not tonight, definitely tomorrow.
Tonight or tomorrow is the plan.
Monday starts JPEG week, so if there are any Joystick Podcast Appreciation Group members out there that would like to write about the JPEG or their experiences with it, feel free to let us know. It's one thing we're doing with SideQuesting. All of us came from the JPEG.
The artist formerly known as JPEG.
Yeah, exactly. And which was the Facebook group that impromptu started up for the Joystick Podcast. And it was the Joystick Podcast Appreciation Group. Yeah. All of us became friends through there. I mean, I've met Yaniv, who helped kind of co-found the site initially. Ryan, Eric,
deceased.
Steven. Yeah, exactly. So all the active writers right now are pretty much JPEG folks. And so we wanted to do a little bit of homage to it, since it's kind of scattered and started to fade away over the last year, mostly because Facebook screwed it up with their format change, and we didn't really know how to react to it. At least the group didn't know how to react to it. So we're all kind of all over the place with the plans there. So I figured this would be a nice way to give thanks to that group that gave us a lot, gave us good friendships and stuff. So yeah, should be a fun thing. But so that's that, and then let's talk about that's basically the site stuff, I'd say. Is there anything else on the site that you want to mention?
Yeah, open it up right now.
For those asking about the VGA podcast, it is recorded. We recovered the recording. We thought we had lost it, but guess what? I didn't lose it. I was just a numbskull and realized that we only recorded a half-hour show and not a two-hour show. Surprisingly, we did a good job.
It was only a half hour?
It was like 35 minutes. It was our best show ever because we were all kind of drunk.
I'm not even kidding when I say I don't remember just about anything from that. Well,
we were pretty sloshed that night. I was drinking eggnog and Southern Comfort, and I've come to the realization, by the way, tangent, eggnog gives me, at least the brand that I've been buying, gives me such horrible stomach pains that I've been waking up in the middle of the night with just explosive diarrhea. And I've been in the toilet for a good 40 to 45 minutes every night, just, you know, losing 10 pounds. And I didn't really know what it was, and I've been drinking eggnog like almost every night. And
it's because you're drinking eggnog. Have you looked at the nutritional facts on that? I did that the other day, and it's like, oh, 12 grams of fat. I'm like, okay, well, I thought it was a whole lot worse than that, and I looked at it, it's like serving half a cup. I'm like, holy shit, I just died. I have a heart attack right now.
And I look at my weight, I'm like, oh my god, I've gained like 6 pounds. In the last 2 weeks, and I've been eating less. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, oh goddamn, that one cup of eggnog at night.
You drink eggnog, and like, it's so thick, you can feel it going directly into your bloodstream.
Directly into my asshole. Seal my asshole.
Okay, let's check a couple of news stories that were interesting.
Right. Go ahead.
The whole Last Guardian situation.
Oh, that's... Well, that goes back to...
Ueda leaves Sony, and then he doesn't leave Sony.
And then
it turns out he actually left Sony, but Sony didn't want to tell anyone. And then, what was it, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, GameStop said that The Last Guardian... they pulled it from their system.
Yeah.
GameStop, a company notorious for keeping everything in their system forever, including Duke Nukem Forever for 13 years, they pulled it from their system saying it was no longer coming.
Yep, yep.
And then Sony got upset and said it is still coming. And then GameStop said, oh, that whole automated message we sent everyone was a mistake. It's not actually canceled.
So, do you think this game is canceled? Never coming out? So here's my thing. game development in Japan, people are rock star designers in Japan when you're developing games. It's much more so than they are here in the U.S. I mean, we have our Blazinskis, we have our Ken Levines. In Japan, they worship game designers, and you know, rightfully so. I think I would hope that our Western guys, our American guys, whatever, get to that point, but. And so these designers, especially the ones that tend to work with Sony, are given – their leash is so long. I mean, look what happened with Gran Turismo 5. That was like, what, 6 years in the making? Seven years in the making?
They started working at it before Gran Turismo 5 came out.
Yeah. And then you have Last Guardian. You have – I mean, take a look. You have Metal Gear Solid.
The average development time for a – game over there is about 5 years.
Yeah, it's nuts, and I know they try to get this to be absolutely perfect and so forth. I think the big thing is that their staffs might be a little bit smaller than they are in the U.S. It's pretty large. It does too. It's still pretty large, but yeah, they're given such a huge leash with you know, the amount of money that just gets siphoned into there is like, you look at what happened with Duke Nukem Forever. And that took like 15 years to come out. That seems like nothing when you start hearing about the horror stories of Japanese game development. It's just, it's like, get your shit together, guys. I know you want to make a perfect game, but don't.
But you can make perfect games in shorter amount of times.
Exactly. You don't need to put everything in this game. I mean, you know, it's disheartening for the people that are huge fans of like Sony and you know, Konami and Capcom and stuff, Capcom's starting to change now where they're using a lot more Western development resources, but you know, it just takes forever.
But then they blame Western development whenever a game fails.
Yeah. But you know, you look at these companies and say, what the heck is taking so long to make these games? It shouldn't take that long. It's great to be a perfectionist, and I'm a designer by trade, so I know a little bit about this stuff, but or again, empathize, I should say. But at some point, you just gotta say, you know what? We gotta get this out because the fan base is gonna start dwindling, and they may not notice it right away. I mean, you look at Gran Turismo 5, and I mean that had a lot of good millions of sales, but Forza came up and went right past it, and now Forza is easily the leading racing simulator game on the planet. So I don't know. I think it's canceled.
Back to Last Guardian, it was first announced 2009 E3.
I thought it was before then. I thought it was 2008.
I think it was 2009. Okay. And TGS 2009, they brought out the last details seen from that game that were new.
Yeah. And so it's been a couple of years since we heard about it.
And, you know, I want to play it if it's a good game. But
you know what? I think that the re-release of
Shadow of the Colossus
and Eco in HD-ish. Up-res. I mean, remember they initially said that was going to come out a month before the game, before Last Guardian comes out, to get everybody warmed up. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, hold on, we don't really know when Team Eco is going to come out. And then all of a sudden it came down to, shit, let's just get this game out as fast as possible. Get this compilation out because, no one's going to be buying this next game unless. And then all of a sudden, Eco came out, Shadow of the Colossus, the combo, and, it came out kind of in a weird time because everybody was looking at everything else. The season was already jam-packed, and The Last Guardian is nowhere to be seen. So it was just really shittily handled.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not a game industry savant. I'm not going to pretend to be. But when I am accurate about something, I like to let people know. Mm-hmm. Such as, a year ago when they said, oh, don't worry, this game's going to be coming late spring, early summer. I said, no, it's not. It clearly isn't. You haven't said anything about this goddamn game. Mm. And then coming up on that release, they said, oh, we're pushing it to the end of this year. I said, no, you're not. It's not going to come out this year. And everyone on the planet thought it was coming out this holiday. And clearly it wasn't. Because you can't release a game without showing anything besides 5 screenshots and a 2-minute video 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, it's disappointing to see games disappear like that, but just people get caught up too much in the zeitgeist and the. Mm-hmm. You like seeing everything be good, but when it's not, you have to recognize it.
Well, who knows what's going to happen here. I don't know if this game's ever going to come out, to tell you the truth, which is a bummer, but whatever.
I hope it does, but like I said, I'm not hopeful.
You know what? I'm not. I'm no longer going to be upset if the game doesn't come out.
Yeah, because
at that point, that's worse than being outraged if a game isn't coming out. Because now people get, they just stop caring, They stop caring about your game. They stop caring about your...
Apathy.
Apathetic, exactly. Thank you. The linguistic genius. They're apathetic towards your endeavors, which, it just starts to hurt your studio and your company more. But let's get on to happier news.
What's happier?
Go ahead. there were massive layoffs this week.
There's not a lot of happy news that comes out this time of year.
There's not a lot of news.
Okay, happier news. Vita memory sticks aren't going to be $130.
They're going to be $100. There was a great Twitter debate going on yesterday about it, but... go ahead. Tell me your thought. I know where this is going to go, and I'm going to wholeheartedly agree with you.
I actually don't know where you want me to go with it. So no, I was going to say, sure, this is they're not $130 ago. They're only $100. But as I thought from the beginning, the top end Vita games are going to be $50.
Yeah, and that's the issue. I think that people are forgetting about that.
I actually argued with about a dozen people who said that, oh, look, these retailers are listing games for $40. I said, they're listing blindly. They don't have any guess to go off. They're going off of between the 3DS game costs and what they think it could be.
And the, all of a sudden now the 3DS looks mightily affordable. And we'll get to some 3DS stuff in a little bit here, but God, that Vita, $250 or two.
Tolerable.
So it's $250 and
$250,
then...
And you need at least a single memory card off the bat.
Yeah, exactly.
There's you need games a memory card. Require saves.
So what's a cheaper memory card? Is that like $30 or whatever it was?
I think $30 or $25 maybe for a 4 gigabyte.
So let's say $30 after taxes, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So you're looking at $280. When you get your first game, you want to get that hot Uncharted jam, right? Which is a $50 game.
Yep.
Your PlayStation Vita to play the newest Uncharted, which I might add is not going to come even close to being as good as the PS3 versions of Uncharted,
and which will probably end up coming to the PS3 anyway.
It'll probably end up coming to PS3, just like all PSP games have done. I'm probably going to download it on PSN. $330. Can you afford to spend $330 on one game? I mean, yeah, there's some nice features with the Vita, but shit, guys, that's a lot. At that point, it's like, crap, man. You know, even if you consider the Vita with its really bad battery and that memory stick, I mean, that's $280. That's a lot of money to be asking.
I just the launch lineup isn't.
No.
It's like, you got Mod Nation Racers. Like,
this is all the stuff you can get on PSN for the PSP.
Yeah, Little Deviants. Little Deviants is the Wii Sports of the Vita. I think that was one of the things we got to tool around with at E3.
Yep.
Wipeout 2048. I'd rather play a Wipeout on an HD panel. I'm sorry.
So what this kind of reminds me of, and now, so these are all big... they're not big PlayStation names, right? These are big PSP games that are being brought to the Vita, right? So you have, I think the only ones that I'm really interested in are Little Deviants, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm not even super interested in that
one. The Katamari game.
Yeah. Maybe the Katamari, although, guys, I have a bajillion, I have every bajillion Katamari /
Super Katamari King. Games, once again, old news.
They're old news.
Escape Plan. Amazing.
Escape Plan looks interesting. Uncharted, only because I'm fresh off coming off of Uncharted 3. So,
want an actual good Uncharted game?
Well, I haven't played this all. In all fairness, I don't know what to expect from Golden Shower Uncharted, but that's all I'm gonna be calling it, Golden Shower. But God, I just it's the PSP launch all over again, and I don't think people are willing to go. I mean, look at the backlash with the 3DS, because the 3DS was $250 and the games were $40. And now the 3DS is $170 and people are still bitching and complaining somehow.
Well, that's just typical internet, though.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, though, is that the Vita, a brand new system, couldn't outsell the 3DS in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. And the 3DS had... I mean, the 3DS came out with Monster Hunter that week. Nintendo, they countered the Vita launch really well.
Oh, straight up.
And they did a good job of doing that. But, I mean, the Vita screen is beautiful. It's an absolutely gorgeous screen. The rear touch panel is
you're
novel.
You're absolutely right. But you know what?
That rear touch panel is going to start making its way to tablets.
I don't see the point.
No, they're...
I didn't like using that panel. Like... Not
you know,
being able to
well,
see your hand
here's
is
where
strange.
I think it's gonna be, here's where I think it's – I think it's more gestural. It's going to be kind of nice. So think of it this way. You're going to be surfing the web. Instead of putting your finger on the screen to scroll up, you'll just – as you're holding a tablet or a Vita or whatever, you could just swipe up behind it. So you're seeing the full screen.
That's true.
I like that. I like that type of stuff. You know, maybe there's media controls. That you're watching movies. You could just swipe left or right to speed up or slow down. So your hands aren't getting in the way of the – and I think that kind of stuff could be kind of cool.
You're not wrong,
but I know there's the super hardcore gaming media is so in love with this thing. The reviews are fantastic. The Vita's this wonderful piece of technology. Yeah, it's a wonderful piece of technology, just like the PSP was. I'm on my third PSP. Yeah, great piece of tech, but pretty expensive. And those memory cards, I still don't think there's any way that they should not be using SD cards, or even the. I mean, they had Memory Stick Pros, and they
And those were expensive, though, too.
Those were expensive to start off with, but at least it was a format that was already available. So, I don't know. I don't know, Sony. You really got to win me over on this one, because I have a lot of other crap that I'm going to be playing.
I won't buy anything anymore just because of tech. Yeah. I already do that with my phone every 2 years.
Yeah. You know,
that being on Android scratches that itch for me. I get to pick out the best piece of tech every 2 years and say, I'm going to dedicate myself to this.
Cool.
And nothing else will step in the way of that.
Good, good, good.
It's like 2 years ago, Sony tried throwing out the PSP Go. I laughed at that.
Oh, God. I didn't even look at that.
This is the biggest thing that grinds my gears about this thing is the PSP Go had 16 gigabytes of internal storage.
Yeah.
And this thing has zero.
How
can you even try to get away with that? And people are trying to
justify it.
The Sony fanboy nation is the biggest, most aggravating thing on the internet, and I'm not even kidding.
They're worse than Halo fans.
They're
Ryan.
I would rather go to 4chan for a day than
And then talk about. And you would rather go to 4chan as a Republican than talk to Sony fans. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. We love the PS3, the hardware. It's just there's so many bad decisions being made that it makes Nintendo look like they're kings of the mountain.
And you know the PS3 hardware is great. You know why?
Yeah, it is.
Blu-ray player.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And that news came out last week that, you know, more people are watching Blu-rays on their PS3 than playing games.
That's, you know what? That's what I do. I watch, you know what? It's, the PS3 is a fantastic machine. It actually has, I think, a lot longer lifespan. There's no need to pump out a PS4 anytime soon.
I do, but
they just gotta get the right games out there. They gotta have a year where it's just hit after hit after hit to really get people, interested again. I think there's so much potential with the PS3 in the way its infrastructure set up, but they've been lacking. I mean, the Xbox is killing it, and they're killing all the consoles.
And there's no reason
in the West.
There's no reason for the 360 to be in the lead right now.
No, there isn't. No, the games are the same on both of them, and they're usually better looking on the PS3.
Well, if they're multi-platform, they're not. Exclusives. I'd say the PS3 exclusive library is better than 360s, if only just for Uncharted and Metal Gear Solid. But
yeah,
then you got Infamous games and
Little Big Planet. the first couple are great.
Yeah, but then that's, you know, ignoring the two biggest things about the 360, which is online and the market or the marketplace.
And that's exactly what. Yeah, I totally agree. That's exactly what Sony hasn't done with their setup. They really should have gone in early on. There can't not be people that aren't anticipating this stuff. There's got to be someone who said, hey, listen, you know what? Online sales are going to be really big. We should make that kind of a good focus on the thing. Instead of having your initial logon screen on a PS3 just land on the PSN, but the organization is horrible, and they don't do a good job of promoting and getting indies in there. But God, there's got to be—I don't know. There's ways they can improve it, but.
And once again, the community for the Sony fanboys—they say, "Oh, well, the online's just as good as live." It's like, you know, it's not true.
Yeah.
Bloggers, games writers, almost everyone I talk to uses Xbox Live,
and
it costs money.
Yes.
Everyone I talk to is a blogger or a games writer who doesn't make a lot of money doing this. And if they're going to spend money, it's usually going to be for a reason.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. If, you know, the infrastructure for Microsoft, the way they do it, the way they have it designed, it says, you know, you turn your Xbox on, it says, hey, you're going right into the internet with our computer, with our console. Turn the thing on, and these are your friends online. This is what's for sale right now. These are the games that people are playing. Go. And they've done such a great job at doing that. I think it all started kind of with the NXE, the redesign, that Microsoft really took control of this console generation and said, you know what? Boom. we know what you want. We got it. Let's go with it. And Sony has not done that. That cross-media bar, sorry, that thing's got to go.
Yeah, it's and Microsoft isn't against updating their system every year if they have to.
I mean, not only updating, but completely updating. Yeah. They got balls to
refining.
Do that. Yeah. I mean, I was happy with Nixie, the new Xbox experience, and they've gone ahead and done this one.
The first revision, last year's revision, made it better. Yeah. But, you know, Microsoft isn't without faults, though, either. Recently, their news of removing all weapon-related items from avatars.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the future, maybe in the next episode.
That just frustrates me.
Let's
holiday happy.
Holiday happy. Let's talk one last couple things about the holidays, and we'll sign off for a little bit. Because my Lions are winning surprisingly right now, so I want to get to the game. So I can
even
watch.
A blind squirrel finds a nut.
Yep. Let's talk holidays. So what's your best holiday gaming memory?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you already told me you'd never gotten a console for.
Let's see. What's the best game I've gotten for Christmas? I can't even answer that.
Maybe it's not a game. Maybe it's like an experience. Well, I'll tell you mine, and then maybe it'll give you ideas for
that's
what
a good idea.
So, here my families get together, you know, either my in-laws on their side will get together when we go there on Christmas Eve, or we'll do it at our house for Christmas breakfast or whatever. Christmas, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay, sorry. It was going quiet for a second there. On Christmas Eve in 06, the Wii had just come out, right? It was only a month in its lifespan, and I decided, you know, I'm going to bring it to my in-laws' house because they had a couple young kids there that were, like 4 and 6, and then or like 5 and 4 or something, and then all of us were in our late 20s and stuff. So I brought the Wii, Wii Sports, and just set it up house at my wife's grandparents' house where we all got together. And that thing was turned on when we got there after I set it up. Kids showed up. We played the Wii with Wii Sports, so like boxing and tennis, for a good 6 hours. And everybody had such a great time. We had the adults, you know, grandparents were hopping in, playing against kids. That was the best. It was an awesome gaming experience. And I up until then, I had never done the whole gaming thing on over the holidays where people get together and play, you know, you bring the game system out at a family get together. But the first time it happened was this with the Wii. And since then we've been bringing the Wii to every, either it's Thanksgiving or it's Christmas or it's New Year's since then. And we always have a great time, even if it's just Wii Sports tennis or Wii Sports bowling or you know, whatever. We've been able to have a great time with gaming. And so that first one was awesome. I mean, just seeing like the little kids have a great time and at some points get frustrated with the adults when we beat them at like boxing. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that's kind of – that helped warm up my entire family to the idea of, hey, gaming isn't just for kids anymore. You can have fun if you're adults too. So that was maybe my favorite memory was that first one in 06, that first Christmas Eve with the Wii.
Well, mine would probably be Christmas of 97, year GoldenEye came out.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got GoldenEye for Christmas. And me, my brothers, and one of my brother's friends played GoldenEye for 20 hours straight, probably.
Nice.
I was like 8, and we had – it was like we were using like a 17-inch CRT TV, so like you have to be a foot away. You got 4 people's heads an inch away from the screen trying to play. And it's just so much fun just running around yelling at everyone for screen cheating. And, you know, like right away, like we never played normal. We'd always put on License to Kill, one-hit kills, and run around and do slappers only.
You know what's interesting is that, sorry to cut you off, No, I was going to say, because with we're really blessed right now in the gaming fans of gaming, because we have so many games at our disposal, and they are really affordable. Anybody who complains about a $60 game is out of their gourd.
Yeah, paying $65 for a game back then, which is $85 now.
Yeah, at least $85. Yeah, exactly. Was nuts back then. I mean, GoldenEye, if you were the one kid on the – it was one of those things where gaming was still kind of in its infancy in terms of popularity and outreach and stuff. But the one kid who had GoldenEye, people were over there every night. And it was an awesome social event, you know. And then, like you said, you know, you guys played for 20 hours straight. You wouldn't do that right now, because you'd be like, all right, you know, I'm going to play Call of Duty. And Call of Duty's got this awesome online game. And we'll play Call of Duty, and we'll play for a couple hours. And then, hey, you know what? Let's throw some Rock Band in. Oh, you don't have Rock Band online? Okay, well, let me find somebody else to play with who has Rock Band. What game do you have? Okay, well. And so it's like, it's great. We have this all at our fingertips, and everything is so affordable. But there's not that anticipation anymore, I guess, because now games are everywhere and there's a bajillion being pumped out every year and it's super saturated. That anticipation for that one game, you know, that one Nintendo game each year, that one
you're spinning PS your game. Own version of Everything's Amazing and Nobody's Happy.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right, because it's like it's so great right now, but. You know, the anticipation isn't there like it used to be, though.
Yeah, like when I listed 80-some-odd games for our Game of the Year list, games to think about.
You didn't put in a bunch of them either.
Well, I skipped a bunch of ones that I figured nobody would really care about. And I didn't really go through many iOS games or anything like that, because, you know, only the big ones that are Game of the Year contenders.
Hey, well, you know, you never know. There's going to be some iOS games that sneak in there probably in the list.
Well, I'll delete those.
But that, yeah, you make a great point. I mean, although I never played for 20 hours straight, on Christmas Eve, I do remember long sessions in college of GoldenEye and Mario Kart and even Mario Party, where we were just...
Oh, my God, Mario Party. Get the hand rubbed.
Wasn't that great? Yeah.
You got no skin in the middle of your palm for different reasons this time.
Yeah, for different reasons. Because you're trying to either hit all the buttons or you're trying to hit the analog controller.
Yeah, spin it like for the rafting game and whatnot.
Yeah, those are the days, you know? Christmas memories.
Yeah, like, back in the good old days when your controller would injure you.
And you were proud of it.
Oh, I remember Nintendo Power had to put out that warning that said... When you're playing Mario Party, use your thumb to rotate the stick, not your palm. All because there's so many people writing and complaining.
Ah, what a great stuff. Great memories. Great memories.
The good old days.
Good old days. Well, we do have a lot of good memories coming up as well. It is the end of the year. We're going to start talking about our Game of the Year stuff internally this week and get everybody prepped for it. And then we'll probably actually choose our Game of the Year. Probably by the end of that first week of January, we should have a good idea of the Game of the Year and probably post around.
Hopefully it should be up by then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it'll be up by then, because they're going to be doing all this week and getting all that stuff taken care of. And it should be great. And again, if you're on the site, please check out JPEG Week, which is going to be all this week. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff going on. Great articles. We're going to try to do a podcast at the end of the week. We're going to have a
couple giveaways.
Yeah, giveaways, all that kind of stuff. Should be a lot of fun. And, and you know what? For the overall, hope you guys have an awesome holiday. Eric, I hope you have an awesome Christmas. Great holidays.
Same to you, buddy.
Thank you, man. And I look forward to another awesome year working with you guys here at SideQuesting.
We'll probably have another podcast next week.
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
Maybe.
I'm sure Hopefully. We will. If it's not SideQuesting, it'll be the JPEG, an impromptu JPEG show. We'll figure something out. We'll get something up there. Definitely. Well, that's it. That's it for my end.
Okay, yeah. Any last news?
Yeah, go Lions.
News.
No. Do you have news? I don't know.
I guess not.
All right. Well,
Yeah, it's 4:45 and I haven't even started wrapping presents yet.
Yeah, get to work, you fucking slack.
And I still need to finish doing my cabinets. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll talk more about that offline. But
yeah, that's not exactly video games.
Like okay. We ever really stick to video games on
yeah,
this podcast.
Clearly. Clearly. As our half-hour sports intro.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everybody. We'll see you on the next side quest. I'm Dally.
I'm Eric.
You can find me at Coolerats.
You can find me at Elamum.
And we'll see you on sidequest.com or sidequesting.com. I got to register sidequest.com. Sidequesting.com.
Bye.